Well, it's good to be here tonight. I want to speak a little bit about prayer tonight, and not only do I want to talk about it, I want to spend some time and give us the opportunity just to spend a little bit of time experiencing God. We're here to encounter God. I don't know why you've come here tonight, but I've come here because I want to encounter the living God, and we want to do that together tonight. So I just do want to talk a little bit about prayer tonight. Some people see things as a prayer is a bit of a chore or something that they do. They have a devotion, and some people have devotions, and having devotions are good, but it's far better to live a life of devotion, and as a part of that devotion to Christ, that there is that desire to pray and to spend time with Him. I just want to read from a little passage from this book on E.M. Bounds. E.M. Bounds is like a prayer guru from many, many years ago, and very powerful what he says about prayer. It says, prayer promotes the spirit of devotion. While devotion is favourable to the best praying, devotion furthers prayer and helps us drive prayer home to the object which it seeks. Prayer thrives in the atmosphere of true devotion. It's easy to pray when in a spirit of devotion. The attitude of the mind and the state of the heart implied in devotion make prayer effectual in reaching the throne of grace. God dwells where the spirit of devotion resides. All the graces of the Spirit are nourished and grow well in an environment created by devotion. Indeed, these graces grow nowhere else but here. The absence of a devotional spirit means that death to the graces born in a renewed heart. True worship finds congeniality in the atmosphere made by a spirit of devotion. While prayer is helpful to devotion, at the same time, devotion reacts on prayer and helps us to pray. Devotion engages the heart in prayer. It is not an easy task for the lips to try to pray while the heart is absent from it. The charge which God at one time made against the ancient Israel was that they honoured Him with their lips while their hearts were far from Him. The very essence of prayer is the spirit of devotion. Without devotion, prayer is an empty form, a vain round of words. And so something about prayer, and prayer really is, it's that intimacy, it's that heartbeat, it's that relationship that we have with God. It's so very important to be people led in prayer. Jesus Himself, as you know, would spend time drawing aside and take time just to pray. And so why would Jesus do that? And Jesus was the fullness of God, but He was also fully man, and Jesus needed to take those times to pray. And people that really struggle in life are the people who really struggle with the whole area of prayer. I want to have us look at passage in Psalm 141 tonight. If you've got a Bible, you can turn to it. Psalm 141, I'm only going to read the first couple of verses, though it's a good little psalm to read the whole psalm. But just the first couple of verses is really what I want to have a look at tonight. And as I said, we'll look at some clips, and at the end I want to spend some time in prayer. So I want to speak a long time tonight. I want us to spend a bit of time in prayer a little bit earlier on. But Psalm 141, it's also up on the screen for you there, the first two verses of Psalm 141. It says, O Lord, I call to You. Come quickly to Me. Hear My voice when I call to You. May my prayer be set before You like incense, and may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. May my prayer be set before You like incense, and may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And so there's a cry about prayer here. First of all, a cry of the heart that says, oh, come quickly, I'm calling to You. Lord, don't be far away, don't be distant from me, but Lord, I'm crying out to You, Lord, and hear my voice when I call You. We know we have the promise that when we do ask, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven will hear us. He hears the cry of our heart. He says, hear my voice when I call to You. And it's really important what you saw in that little clip there about prayer being that encounter with God. People run everywhere trying to have an encounter with God, but one of the most intimate and powerful encounters with God we can have in that place of prayer. And when people have an absent in prayer is an absent thing. They look trying to get an experience in some way or some other form, but really the heart of God and the heartbeat of God is found in a life of prayer. It talks about prayer in a couple of ways here. It says, may my prayer be set before You like incense, and may the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And lifting up our hands in prayer, Paul said, I want every man everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or without disputing. And so lifting our hands up, yeah, it's an important part of prayer, but it's not the form of prayer, it's more the heart and the motivation of prayer that is the most important thing within our prayer. It says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. And there's something about that incense rising to God, because sometimes when people pray, they feel like they're just praying to one another. If you're in a group of people praying, it's interesting listening to people praying, because obviously we need to understand what they're praying. We want to say yes and amen, but we're not really praying for one another. It's not a prayer that's a sermon to pray that this person will stop doing something and try to make them, in the course of our prayer, to cause them to do something. Our prayer is always directed before God. But if we can be together in prayer, yes, we can say our yes and amen when we understand together. But there's that real intimacy in prayer when it's just you and God alone, and when you're opening your heart to Him in prayer. And it says this here, it's like an incense which is set before Him. If you have a look in the book of Revelation, and you can turn to these scriptures or you can read them on the screen, whatever's quicker for you. But it talks about prayer rising up to God like incense. So when you're praying, we're not really praying for the benefit of one another, although we can say yes and amen, because we're two or three stand together, there I am in prayer, and there's unity, there's a power in unity and united prayer as we stand in agreement together. But the whole sense of our prayers rising up into the presence of God. Have a look at Revelation chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. It says, then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. Well, we know Jesus Christ was the lamb that was slain, standing in the center of the throne. So this is a picture of heaven. Encircled by the four living creatures and the elders, he had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, or seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit of God, which is the Holy Spirit, sent out into all the earth. He came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. And each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So sometimes we can pray prayers and just think, Lord, I'm just praying in the air. Lord, where is it going? Sometimes, Lord, do my prayers really get any further than the ceiling? Lord, do you really hear my prayer? And sometimes people get really discouraged and say, well, I've been praying and I'm praying and I just don't seem to be able to break through. But just remember that every prayer of the saints, every prayer of yours is very precious to God. In fact, the prayers that rise to God are actually, they just go up there. They're not just lost up there somewhere. It's not like the internet where it's just out there somewhere in the great cloud of the internet. But actually, our prayers are actually do ascend to the throne of heaven. And it's a beautiful picture of them there with the prayers of the saints, which are held and collected. God treasures the prayer of his saints. He treasures the intimacy of prayer, the exchange that there is in prayer of our hearts. Lord, what's in my heart? Lord, what's in your heart? And that exchange, God treasures that. But our prayers himself, he holds them as something very precious. He says they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. None of your prayers are ever wasted. Never think that one of the prayers that you've ever prayed is a wasted prayer. Sometimes you might say, well, look, hang on, I prayed for such and such someone to get healed, and they didn't get healed. In fact, in the end, they ended up dying, and it's very sad when that happens. Sometimes we see incredible miracles. We see people healed of cancers. We see people healed and set free of some things. Other times we've prayed, you pray for someone, and then unfortunately for us, in our way of thinking, but obviously in God's plan, they end up going to be with them. Sometimes you think, well, Lord, what happened to my prayer? Lord, we prayed. I prayed in faith. I believed for that. We had attended a funeral during the week where a lot of prayer for a sister in God who would have been believing for prayer. And many of you would have known Carmen. She went along to one of our home groups for a time. And some people might be saying, well, whatever happened to our prayers? The prayers for healing, the prayers in faith, whatever happened to those prayers? Well, ultimately, every prayer is answered. Ultimately, we are totally healed. When we're in eternity with God, when we're not walking on this earth, there is no pain, there's no heartache, there's no sickness, there's no disease. So ultimately, every prayer is answered in God in eternity. But every prayer, every cry of the heart is so precious to God. Never think that God misses a tear or he misses a prayer. They're very precious to God, and our prayers are held up in heaven. But the thing about our prayers is they don't get to God, and in that interchange is a precious thing, just sharing your heart and knowing God's love and knowing his presence and hearing from God and knowing his touch. But I love the other passage further on in the book of Revelation where it just talks about how powerful our prayers are. Because one of the reasons why people don't pray is they don't understand how powerful prayer is. I prayed once, it didn't seem to happen when I wanted it or in the way that I wanted it. Well, when we pray according to God's will, we say, God, let it be done according to your will and your timing in your way. Because I don't want to try to limit God's answer by my little mind and compared to an awesome, powerful God, allow him to work in his way. But I love Revelation 8, and we'll have a look at that, where it really talks about how powerful our prayers are. The prayers are kept in heaven and up, ascending to the throne. But then this very powerful picture of prayers and God working on our prayers and how awesome and powerful your prayer is. Never underestimate your prayers. The prayer of a little two-year-old praying and crying out to God is very powerful. Or that little child is crying out in faith, crying out to God. And you, however old you are tonight, your prayers are very, very powerful things. Never underestimate the power of your prayers. Revelation 8, 3 to 5, it says this. Another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. It's another snapshot, if you like, another picture of heaven. And he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense, together with the prayers of the saints, went up before God from the angel's hand. And then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it down to the earth. And there came peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. What an incredible picture that is, that your prayers are rising to heaven, and God takes from the altar of God, the golden altar before the throne, combines that with the prayer, and then it gets released and launched down upon the earth. What an incredible picture of prayer in Matthew 18, when Jesus says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in heaven. And our prayer is so awesome and so powerful. But people don't pray because they don't realize the effect and the power of our prayer. Our prayer can move mountains. Literally, it can do all things if we are people that are devoted to prayer and understand the power of prayer. I want to show you another clip tonight. I said I want to show you a few clips tonight. I just want to show you this clip of how powerful prayer is. And this is a scripture. Well, you watch it and you will know all about it. So let's just watch this clip together.
Also tonight, a sudden death.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death.
A simple prayer.
And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
And a patient, some swear, was raised from the dead. It's a 19 special report.
Is it a medical mystery or a miracle?
A South Florida man pronounced dead from a massive heart attack, then brought back to life. His doctor says this man was raised from the dead by a simple prayer. But iTeam's Louis Aguirre has the story.
Dr. Chauncey Crandall isn't your usual doctor. The world-renowned cardiologist is a man of medicine and science, but he's also a man of faith.
If you come in with a problem into our service, we're going to definitely treat you with conventional medicine, but we're going to believe too. We're going to attack it with conventional medicine, and we're going to attack it with prayer.
And we pray for his healing.
He calls himself the Christian physician because he prays with each heart patient he sees at his Palm Beach practice. The difference, he says, is dramatic.
And command your healing.
Well, the reason I pray for people is because early on in my training, I found out that there were miracles. There were unexplained healings.
But even his strong faith couldn't prepare him for what would happen the day Jeff Markin walked into the Palm Beach Gardens emergency room.
So I drove to the Gardens Hospital, went in, took out my wallet, and fell on the floor with a massive heart attack.
For 40 minutes, doctors and nurses in the ER tried to revive him. When they couldn't get his heart started again, they called for Dr. Crandall, who was doing rounds in the hospital at the time.
And as I entered the emergency room, it was like a war zone. Here was this lifeless body on a stretcher.
The doctor couldn't do anything and could only confirm what everyone already knew. Jeff was dead. He had gone almost an hour without a heartbeat, and his body was starting to decompose.
His face, his arms, his legs were pitch black with death. And I said, well, let's just call the code. Let's end it, because there's no life left.
As Dr. Crandall turned to leave, he says he got another call. This time, a call from God to pray.
A voice told me, turn around and pray for that man. And I looked down at that body, and I said, Lord, what can I pray for this man? He's gone. All of a sudden, these words came from my mouth.
Father God,
I cry out for this man's soul, Lord. If he does not know you as his Lord and Savior, raise him from the dead now.
Despite protests from doctors and nurses who were preparing Jeff's body for the morgue, Dr. Crandall insisted they shock him one more time.
So that doctor came over with those paddles, blasted that man, and all of a sudden, instantly, a perfect heartbeat appeared on that monitor. The stomach started moving. The chest started moving. This man started breathing on his own. And I said, this man has been prayed for. He has been brought back from the dead by prayer in the name of Jesus.
So, where was Jeff during all of this? Well, he believes he left his body and crossed over to the afterlife.
I was actually standing in the back of a funeral home, and I came to realize that this was my funeral.
But in the middle of sitting alone in darkness, Jeff says a figure suddenly appeared to him.
There was a figure who identified himself as Bob, and that he was there to make sure that everything was going to be okay. I'm figuring that was my guardian angel. At that time, again, a very peaceful feeling, very relaxed feeling came over me. He said he had to go. Next thing you know, I woke up in my daughter's arms.
He woke up to a second chance, one that can't be explained by medicine or science. As Dr. Crandall puts it, the only answer is divine intervention.
You're speaking to a scientist, a cardiologist, someone who loves medicine. I've never, ever seen this. And there are always people that do not believe these events. And I would just tell them that it did happen. It was a real story, a real life that was restored.
Jeff wasn't exactly a believer before that day. He didn't regularly attend church or read the Bible. But this experience has made him believe there is a higher purpose for his life.
I feel like that maybe I'm supposed to be a messenger. I want to get the right message across that miracles do happen.
A miracle that brought him life after death.
I'm so happy, you know, like I have a second chance.
Well, Jeff says he is now attending church mainly because he wants to figure out why he was chosen for a second chance at life. In the Plex, Louis Aguirre.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? That's the power of prayer. That man was dead, and that guy's a very well-respected cardiologist in America, and just to see God use him in a powerful way. But that's prayer. Prayer can do that. The prayer, it says in James, the prayer of a righteous man will accomplish much. And your prayers are so very powerful. You don't have to be a cardiologist to have a powerful prayer. You don't have to be a pastor. You just have to be a son or a daughter of God coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And our prayers are so very powerful. Never underestimate the power of your prayer. Some people struggle with prayer because they don't realize how powerful it is. They don't realize how important and how essential prayer is. And so it talks to us. It says here in that passage in Psalm 141, may my prayer be set before you like incense. Incense, my prayers rising before the very throne of God. And God gets our prayers and he adds his power to the prayer and then released down. Very, very powerful image. The altar of incense was something that was placed in the holy place. You had the most holy place, you had the holy place, we had the altar of incense, which was prayer, symbolic of prayer that was always totally rising up before God. And it was prayer, it was always there. They had them in the morning, in the evening also, they had the prayer rising before the Lord. And it's important to pray, whether you pray in the morning, pray in the evening, or it depends on your body clock. Some people are asleep in the morning, so not a good time to pray while you're asleep. Some people are asleep at night time, not a good time to pray when you're asleep. Whether you pray in the morning or night, it doesn't matter, but prayer is an important part of our lives. The other part of the scripture, he says, may my prayer, he says, be set before you like incense, and may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice was something that happened every day. They had a daily sacrifice. We'll put the scripture up there and then you can read it for yourself in Exodus 29, 38 to 43. And this is about the daily sacrifice in the morning and the evening that was to be offered by the children of Israel before the Lord. And this is what you are to offer on the altar regularly each day. Two lambs a year old. Offer one in the morning and the other at twilight. And when the first lamb offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour mixed with a quarter of a hin of oil from pressed olives and a quarter of a hin of wine as a drink offering, sacrifice the other lamb at twilight with the same grain offering and its drink offering as in the morning, a pleasing aroma, an offering made to the Lord by fire. For the generations to come, this burnt offering is to be made regularly at the entrance to the tent of meeting before the Lord. There I will meet you, and I will speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. And so there was this offering that had to be done in the morning and the evening. We know Jesus is our Passover lamb or our sacrificial lamb. He's the one that's made the sacrifice by his death on the cross for us. But it says for generations to come, and it talks about when this offering is made, that's a place where God would actually meet with them. And so in Psalm 141, he says, may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice, they would make the sacrifice, and then they would offer the incense and the prayer. Well, we've already had the sacrifice that's been offered for us. We've already know what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. But he says, may the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. And the part of that is really telling us that when we come into that relationship with prayer, that promise, as the Lord said for them, is the same promise for us. There I will meet you and speak to you. And that's the promise of God. When we have our heart full of God and directed to God in prayer, he promises that he will meet us and he promises that he will speak to us. And that's a promise. And I want to spend some time tonight. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer ourselves tonight. And my prayer is, and I know God will touch you tonight, that God is going to meet with you and God will speak with you tonight. You came to church to encounter God. That's what we're here for. We're to encounter the living God and God to be able to put before God the cries of the heart, even as the psalmist cried out, Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you, and to be able to bring whatever's on our heart and bring it in prayer today in this atmosphere of devotion, of coming before God with a hungry heart and to cry out for him and to have him touch each and every one of us. And that promise that I will meet you and I will speak to you. Sacrifice, sometimes it is a sacrifice to pray. Sometimes you don't actually feel like praying. But I praise God that God is not one. Imagine if God dealt with us like a man would deal with us. Doesn't feel like blessing us today or feel like, where would we be? But God is a gracious God, is always there. Sometimes because we know we're our own frail humanity, there is a sacrifice. But sometimes when we make that evening sacrifice or the morning sacrifice, however it is for you, that there's always the promise that I will meet you.